Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Day 2, Black Hat, Japan. I'd like to introduce Jovi Neuer and his presentation on the art of SIP fuzzing and vulnerabilities found in VoIP. Thank you.
Muna-san. Ohayou gozaimasu. Security Lab Jovi Neuer to moshimasu. That's about all the Japanese I'm going to speak today. I had a bad experience speaking Japanese in a business environment. One of my customers in Japan asked me what I thought about his security, and I was joking, and I said, "Bimyo." Unfortunately, he didn't find it as a joke. So I don't want to try to insult anyone here, so I'll limit my Japanese. So everyone came here to hear me talk about JukiNet, right? I'm kidding. I'm actually going to talk about SIP fuzzing and voice of IP security. This presentation was originally done with Mikko Vapiala. He's from Finland. And he's written a couple of interesting fuzzing tools, notably Protos. So if you have some time, you go on the internet, you can find that tool if you're interested in fuzzing. So I wanted to start off with something interesting. So I developed just a proof of concept against one of the more widely used SIP stacks. Let's see if I can get this to come up. There are about 4 major open source SIP stacks that are used widely across most voice of IP products. SIP Foundry is probably one of the most widely used. Currently, I think it's actually being used by AOL and some of their protocol voice of IP communications and applications. In these text files, I'll open this up. Basically, these are SIP packets. It's all text-based. What it does is it sends out an invite to the SIP phone or the SIP proxy, and it initiates the telephone call. So it's pretty straightforward. So all I'm doing is netcatting this text file, which is a SIP packet, to port 5060 on my local Windows machine from the Linux box. So for the purpose of this SIP phone, it looks like it's receiving a phone call from another device. And a of course, you notice it keeps ringing because I don't actually close the connection. So it actually turns into a denial of service, but that's not what I'm here to show you. So when fuzzing, basically, you develop a profile of what a real SIP packet should look like. And you go through each parameter and fudge each parameter looking for some sort of alternative or bad behavior. So I have a couple of test cases on my laptop. So that's obviously, that's not good, right? That's not what the application was supposed to do. One thing that you might have noticed is I didn't actually pick up the telephone. So what that means is that obviously the SIP packet is text-based. So if we look at the packet again, so what's interesting is that it's text-based, so we're basically defining who we are, where we're coming from. And so we can basically spoof the attack if we can get through the SIP proxy. And the user doesn't actually need to interact with us to be exploited or to be vulnerable. Now, if we wanted to look at it in a little bit more detail, this is not actually my car, but I wish I had it. RDBG is the Windows debugger. So it'll help us basically show what's going on. So when fuzzing, the easy part is actually causing most applications to crash. The hard part is figuring out why it's crashing. For this Windows SIP client, it's pretty straightforward because all we have to do is attach a debugger. But if you're working on embedded devices, it gets a little tougher. So you actually have to have access to a debug interface. But for this, this is a pretty good proof of concept. So here we can actually see we're overriding the heap. And we can see our text here. So again, this is this stack is one of the most widely used stacks on the internet right now. So all of the examples that I'm going to be talking about in this presentation, you can download from the internet. So I'll give you the URL at the end of this. So if you have a voice of IP client or a SIP client, you might want to run some of the test cases against your client to see if it actually crashes. A good chance that it might. Okay. So back to the presentation. the scenario that I just showed you guys is basically this setup. The SIP device on my Windows machine acts as a proxy for itself. I'm actually sending, initiating a TCP connection to my SIP client, or the proxy, and the proxy is communicating that over UDP to the actual application. During the research for this presentation, like I said, we looked at five different vendors, and we found about two critical security vulnerabilities in each of these vendors. The bugs are still in the process of being fixed, but so, what is the current state of voice over IP security? In my opinion, I think, at least in the U.S., larger companies are doing fairly well. Simply because most large companies already have a threat process, a threat model, in place. They have procedures for looking at code and applications within their development process for security vulnerabilities. Unfortunately, many telco providers don't have that type of threat modeling in place. I think the problem with the telco providers is mainly that they're coming from a closed environment mentality. Now that we're migrating to an IP environment, the threat model totally changes. So where in one case you had to worry about someone dialing into your PBX or someone dialing into some management system, here is basically any machine that's addressable is potentially vulnerable. In the U.S., and I don't know about here in Japan, one of the things that I've discovered is you know, just call interception. Everyone knows about call interception. This presentation is a little bit more detailed than sort of basic call interception. But for military usage, there are credentials passed along in the SIP packet that basically says who has precedence over who to make a phone call. So the basic idea is that a general should be able to knock anyone off the line and make a phone call. But what happens if someone can sniff those credentials? Well, then a private soldier can knock a general off the line and make phone calls to his mother if he wants to. So that can be problematic for some people. And in my opinion, I think the greatest risk is in the small business environment. Mainly because there's a mad rush to implement the technology with no considerations or very little consideration to security. If you ask most small businesses why they use the technology, it's because it's cheap and it's easy. So it's sort of like 1999 all over again. Everyone wants to have a web server but doesn't understand how to secure it. So, my colleague, Nico, did some research in 2000 into voice over IP and SIP vulnerabilities. The difference in his research that he did then and the research that we did recently was that the vulnerabilities have become a lot more complex. So in 2000, you could have found buffer overflow vulnerabilities in most of these applications. Now, like the example that I showed you guys just a couple of minutes ago, it's a little bit more complicated. You're dealing with vulnerabilities that are actually on the heap, integer overflows. So they're becoming a lot more complex, but the bugs are still there. I like to say when it comes to voice over IP security, we really are sort of still in 1999. A lot of voice over IP product vendors really don't know how to handle security or security findings. One disclosure I made to a vendor, his first response was to threaten to call a lawyer. And that's sort of what happened in 1999, and then people realized, hey, we can't really hide our vulnerabilities anymore. We have to actually fix them. So it's changing a little bit. I think there's a really dangerous assumption by, especially in a small business, but in businesses in general, you know, the only difference between a voice over IP device in the computer, telephone, is the shape. Ideally, the same vulnerabilities exist in voice over IP devices, either embedded devices or clients, that exist in most network-based software. So, if someone can conceivably write a worm for a router, they can write one for a SIP proxy. It's a little bit more difficult, but it's possible. I think I'll talk about that a little bit later. So, these are the stacks that we looked at. SIP Foundry, that's the one that we just made crash. GNU SIPO, Boveda Vocal. The SIP Foundry stack sort of emerged from the Boveda Vocal stack. And then one proprietary stack that we haven't released the advisory for yet, so it's still marked as unknown. So, again, we found at least two critical bugs in each of these stacks. There is, in my opinion, a 75% chance that a voice over IP or SIP product that you're using is using code based off of one of these stacks. So I think one of the big problems is that a lot of vendors implement the stack and then branch off from it. So basically, they take the new SIPO stack, they put it into their product, and then their developers start writing code on top of that. The two dangers are that the developers might not necessarily follow any security advisories that are published in the original stack that they implemented in their product. The other is that they have no real concept of what problems they're importing into their products. And if they're not doing any threat modeling, if they're not auditing the source code, or if they're not fuzzing on a regular basis, then they're not going to find these vulnerabilities until they're exploited. Most voice over IP hardware and consumer products have no update mechanism. In the U.S., my voice over IP device is a small little white box. If there's a vulnerability found in that small little white box, basically I have to send it back to the vendor. If they notify me, I have to send it back to the vendor and get a new box. Now, when you're dealing with deployments of 20, 30,000 users, that logistically can become really difficult to do. And if the build, let's say you have a voice over IP device with a user base of 20,000 users, and about 5,000 have the same exact build, well then you know that you can exploit all 5,000 of those users using the same exploit, using the same code. And if there's no real update mechanism, it's kind of, it can be really dangerous. I think there's not going to be a major worm in voice over IP products, simply because so many of the products are embedded devices, and most vendors constantly rebuild, and every time you rebuild, basically you change the memory structure, so it becomes a little bit more harder to write a worm, unless it's like a 100 megabyte worm that has memory addresses for every possible version. And then it's not really a worm because you can't fit a 100 megabyte code on a small voice over IP device. So it's going to be a little tough. But I don't want to seem like I'm attacking the vendors, because writing parsers in general is inherently complex. There have been 150 vulnerabilities in EtherRail since 1999. I actually discovered one of them while doing this research in the VoiceOver and the SIP parsing protocol analyzer. So in the SIP dissector, we actually found a buffer overflow while doing this research. So it's not an easy problem to solve. So one thing I think that's really interesting about VoiceOver IP and SIP fuzzing is that there's so many variables that you're dealing with. For example, if you're trying to fuzz over UDP, your packet size is going to be extremely limited. So you might find that you can discover a buffer overflow if you transport the packet over TCP/IP over TCP that allows you to have a larger packet size and therefore more data in the actual packet than UDP. So what we found is that one vulnerability might only be exploitable, over TCP, and not exploitable over UDP. So that's a little scary, because if you're a vendor, or even an end user, and you're doing testing, and you're only testing over UDP, well, you miss a whole range of potential vulnerabilities. So, then, in parsing the actual packets is really difficult, and a lot of bugs exist in the parsers, but also you have to deal with how the actual end applications deal with the information passed to it from the parser. So, for example, maybe the parser says, okay, so it's perfectly fine to have a from address of 256 characters. But the end user that actually developed the application that sits on top of the parser, or sits on top of the stack, limits the invite to, say, 64 characters. So what you might find is a vulnerability that is only applicable to certain applications. That gets really interesting when you actually have to debug this stuff, because it takes a lot more time. But these type of bugs do exist. We ran into a lot of memory corruption, sort of denial of service. For example, one of the Java applications that we were looking at constantly tried to reprocess escape characters. So it turned into memory exhaustion. It had nothing to do with the actual parser. Had nothing to do with the actual protocol. It was just the way that the application was written, and it caused memory leakage. So when you're looking at VoiceOver IP security, you're not looking at sort of one component. You're looking at how multiple components interact with each other. And that's why it's really dangerous, because you really don't have any idea, just by looking at code, how different components might interact with each other. So, after this presentation, I'm hoping that everyone here is going to want to go out and write their own fuzzes. Some of the mistakes that I made. The first thing I did was sort of a sophomoric mistake, was I tried to just define a packet and just fuzz everything at the same time. That didn't work, because it didn't actually look like a SIP packet. So When fuzzing protocols like this, basically you have to take a very, very systematic approach. You have to define what it is you're hoping to get out of the application. What type of faults are you looking to find? Then make some assumptions based on where those faults might lie. And I have an example. This Nico did this slide, and I have no idea what it means. But I'll talk about it anyway. Actually, I won't. Sorry. Some of the things you would look at when fuzzing SIP. These are the main headers that you're going to be dealing with. Now, this looks really simple. It's not. In each of these headers, there are about 5 or 6 different variables that you could fuzz. So when looking at a SIP packet, there are actually something like 100 and some variables that you could be attacking at any given time. But this is where you want to start. I talked to you, when I test all the interfaces, that means TCP and UDP. In the example that I showed in the beginning, is a simple invite packet. But you might find vulnerabilities, say, for example, when you close the session. Let's see what I have here. So I actually have the source code to this actual SIP product that I just fuzzed in mid-class. It's a big project. A lot of files, a lot of different components. Where we think the vulnerability is in this field here. Now, you don't need to be a code auditing guru to understand this. But basically, the point is that looking at it, there's no apparent vulnerability in this code. Unless I'm totally missing something. The other people that have looked at it can't see it. The only way that you can really discover how this vulnerability is occurring is by going step by step through the application and the debugger. Some of the fields that I just showed you are here. So, any of these other fields that I listed could be causing, could be contributing to this vulnerability. So you're also looking at how each of these environments, each of these parameters interact with other parameters. How do they affect other parameters within the actual protocol and the parser? And you also have to make some assumptions on what you think an attacker might look for. What would the attacker first try to exploit? I think these are going to be the fields that most people are going to be writing exploits for. At least the ones I have. So, this is another Miko slide, but basically what we're looking at is, first we're deciding what we want to check. So in one case is syntax. So how does the actual application, the parser, handle incorrect or malformed data? How does it parse it? Does it parse it correctly? How does it handle packets that look like SIP, but have some slight changes in variations. So this is what I mean by a lot of potential areas of attack. So each of these parameters could be potentially changed and fuzzed. There could be a vulnerability in each of these parameters here. So one thing that we found, for example, is we might be able, by specifying the IP address of the machine that we want to attack, the port number, like we just did earlier. But for example, specifying a long username in the to and a long username in the from, it might overflow a buffer that stores, a single buffer that stores the user information. We found vulnerabilities, for example, in address parsing. Not all voice over IP vendors properly support IPv6 or support the full spectrum of it. So you might find vulnerabilities in the way that it parses IPv6 address information. There may be environments where only if you have an IPv6 from address and an IPv4 to address will a vulnerability be executable. And this is something you really can't identify just by looking at the code. And this is sort of why fuzzing is really critical for auditing voice over IP applications. So if you look at that packet, you see that there's a lot of things that can interrelate with other variables. But if you're fuzzing, say for example, a binary protocol, you have a fixed size, you have a fixed target, and you're fuzzing within those fixed parameters. With ASCII-based protocols like SIP, it's a little bit different because the parsers have to be a lot more, flexible. So you find vulnerabilities, discovering vulnerabilities in this a lot more interesting because you have a lot more potential avenues of attack. A lot more, it's a lot tougher because you can end up just throwing everything in the kitchen at the protocol and getting nowhere. So you actually have to have a systematic approach when you go after this because you can end up doing a little bit too much. SDP, we haven't looked at that too much. It's the multimedia aspect of specific packets or the voice of IP communications. But I think there's going to be a lot of vulnerabilities in how parsers deal with that type of information. Yesterday was a really interesting presentation on file format fuzzing, and I think some of the techniques used in that could actually be used in fuzzing SDP. So when fuzzing, we're looking at ASCII-based protocols. We're looking at things like buffer overflows, format strings, integer variables. And we are attacking more of the structure of the SIP packet in its various components as opposed to single parameters. And by dealing with the structure, we're dealing with, for example, in the header, multiple variables, not only one individual variable. That's the key. So here's some of the, on the website, we actually have about 25 different test case scenarios that you can use to get started. But here's an example of some of the things that we're looking for. the basic long strings. A lot of sort of binary interpretation. How do the parsers handle hex, for example? You find a lot of really interesting things when parsers deal with binary data. Control characters, UTF-8, is really interesting because you open up a whole can of worms of potential vulnerabilities and how people parse that data. It's really tough to do correctly. Here's one of the packets. This one, I think, is the one that we found in Etherrail was similar to this, where there was a long SIP version, but there was an integer variable that actually caused the overflow. That's also on the website, so you can take a look at that if you want to figure out how to exploit Etherrail 10.10. I found a couple of vulnerabilities, actually in the products that we listed, were integer related. Content length of -1. What might happen is that the application of the parser might basically malloc, FFFFF. And if you're familiar with memory management, you know, that's obviously not a very good thing. You send a large, anything below this point right here is actually considered content. So a SIP parser or a SIP application should actually not accept anything with a negative number in content length, but they do. You find a lot of problems in IPv6 interpretation. This is another Miko slide, but so I won't talk on it. But this is actually in this is online, so you can actually look at these test cases. Everyone get that? Parsing, one of the problems that we found in terms of virtual IP and SIP parsers, for example, this is a vulnerability that we found where when we sent a set multiple times, the parser kept trying when it was stepping through the packet, basically it looked at this line, it interpreted it and said, okay, next we're going to be expecting 2. Once it got to the next line, it started parsing that, said, all right, we should be seeing from. Got to that line, started parsing the information from via, started parsing the information in the via, and then when it got to accept, it started to prepare to parse the content data after that. But then we constantly sent accept, and actually caused memory leakage because it kept going over and reparsing this. And actually it was memory exhaustion because it stored this in a fixed database and actually caused memory corruption in the application. In a fixed buffer, sorry. So, some of the things, UTF, you can look at this, check out this website if you want to see the actual spec of how these applications should be handling UTF data. They don't do a very good job. These are just some of the things that you want to look for when performing the audit. Some of the things that you want to be particularly aware of. In my experience, most of the voice of IP vendors and SIP parsers don't follow the RFC to point. I think that is mainly for speed and memory, lack of actual memory on embedded devices. So So you can take a look at these RSCs and see what the SIP package should look like and use that as a starting point for your fuzzing. These are pretty interesting in terms of these aren't necessarily related to SIP or necessarily related to voice over IP, but other components that interact with SIP. So, for example, you might find code that does basic auth parsing or authentication that is not part of the original SIP stack that was written by some third-party vendor or imported from another component of another product. That might be vulnerable, that is not necessarily related to SIP. So when you're looking at, like I said, I stressed it earlier, you're not only looking at the actual packet or the SIP protocol, you're looking at how other applications interact with it. So this is some motivation for those of you that actually want to go out and write SIP fuzzers. So there's a couple of tools that you can use to get started on your journey. Protos is a really good one. Spike, Smudge, all three of those are really good tools to get you started. I don't think that voice over IP is, how can I say this politically correctly? We're in the early stages, and a lot of vulnerabilities in voice over IP technology is yet to be discovered. But now is the best time to start testing and auditing for these vulnerabilities before it becomes any more widespread. If you aren't necessarily a vendor and you're an end user, one of the things that you might want to start doing is asking your vendors where they're getting their code from. And are they actually testing them? In America, some of the larger companies have levers to actually request the test results. I don't know how common that is here in Japan, though. All of the majority of the news that you see on voice over IP security is related to call interception, session hijacking. What I'm saying is that we're dealing with the issues that exist now are much more fundamental. It's bad code. So, to some extent, we sort of have to slow down and make sure that the actual applications are being written correctly. There's been a sort of mad rush for everyone to adapt the technology. So there isn't as much on the developer side, as much attention paid to writing secure code. Just because they're more concerned with making it work, and I can't blame them at this point. But going forward, we actually have to start paying attention to this. And this is the URL where you can download about 25 different test case scenarios. They're labeled PDUs on the website. And you saw from, you can develop some sort of a little bit more automated approach, but all I'm doing is running the PDUs through Netcat and pointing them at the SIP devices. So with 25 different test case scenarios, if you don't find at least one vulnerability, I will pay you a dollar. And that's it. Any questions?
Please ask a question into the microphone so that we can hear your hand waving. Thank you.
I actually have two questions. The first one is about the security features that companies like Cisco are adding into protocols like SIP, things like encryption standards and whatnot. How would one efficiently test to make sure that the, first of all, the encryption is actually working, and second of all, that error conditions in these encrypted protocols are actually being handled properly? And the second question is, with you doing a lot of work in voice over IP testing, what are your thoughts on the upcoming epidemic of spit or spam over IP telephony?
So that's a loaded question because I'm assuming that he's actually doing some of that research too. Well, first with spit, after every time that I've spoken about voice over IP security, the first reaction is, what about session border controllers? What about all of this other technology that we can put on top of the applications to protect the actual end users? What I'm saying is that vulnerabilities can exist in those session border controllers. This is a much more fundamental issue that we're dealing with. Spam over voice over IP is an annoyance, but remote code execution is a major problem. So, if I had to make a decision in terms of what I would be focusing more of my time on, at least as a security researcher, I would be focusing more on preventing remote code execution on devices. So I don't think voice over IP spam is as big of an issue as it might be, say, 2 years from now, or a year from now even. Regarding encryption, that's a little tougher. I haven't worked with any vendors that, I haven't worked with Cisco, and I haven't worked with any vendors that actually employ encryption. The vast majority of the vendors that I've worked with employ no sort of encryption at all, and make the assumption that the customer will be deploying their own encryption around the SIP protocols. So I couldn't really answer that with any authority, and I'm sure you have the answer to that, and you should stand next to me by the speaker's desk and answer the audience questions if they have any regarding that. I know from experience, for example, Skype likes to talk about its encryption, but it was actually, someone was actually able to decrypt Skype sessions and record them. So it's not flawless. I don't know the details of the research or what university it was done out of, but it's possible. I can't speak with any authority to things that Cisco is developing though. Next question.
パナソニックのリンというものです。よろしくお願いします。今、おっしゃってた、そういう脆弱性の見つけ方なんですけども、プロトスでほとんどカバーされてるんでしょうか？もしプロトスでカバーされてるんであれば、もうプロトスだけをかけると、ほとんどが安全であると言えるんでしょうか？
I don't think so. Fuzzing is not the answer to all of the security vulnerabilities in voice over IP cross parsers and protocols. It is one of the solutions that we can use to identify vulnerabilities. There are going to be vulnerabilities that you'll discover while fuzzing using a tool like Protos. And Protos is a start. It doesn't encompass all of the potential vulnerabilities that you might want to fuzz. But it's a start. There are vulnerabilities that you might find in code auditing that you won't discover in fuzzing, just because you don't have a test case scenario that's actually looking for that vulnerability. And vice versa. So it has, when approaching this, you have to look at it from a sort of an onion you have to take an onion approach and look at it at multiple different layers. So fuzzing being one of the technologies that you use to discover vulnerabilities. Source code auditing being the other. Next question. Not that I can set up reliably quickly. No more questions? Okay. Thank you.